Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Mr. Al Carper, Executive Vice President of BJU.
Looking around this room, I was thinking about how the first class I taught at BJU when I came as a teacher in 1983 was actually in this room. I taught economics and thoroughly enjoyed it, even though it sounds like an esoteric subject. I really, really enjoyed it. So if I break out into talking about marginal benefits, marginal costs, supply, demand, demand curves, and shifters, and that sort of thing, forgive me. Also, as I was looking around this room, I noticed that there are a few things that are in disrepair. I noticed the wires hanging down on that light over there, and I got to thinking of all the construction and things that are going on around campus. If you haven't noticed, there is some construction going on. And as that construction goes on, there's been a lot of personal growth that has been happening as well. I was talking with somebody who works with facilities management, and they were telling me of a case that happened just last week where one of the fellows that was working somewhere on campus experienced some personal growth. He was reading the blueprints and he was doing a particular thing, and one of the guys who was a little bit more experienced went up to him and said, nope, you're doing it incorrectly. You know, here's the blueprint. And this is where that thing is supposed to be, not here. And the guy goes, oh, man. And he goes, it's not really that big of a deal. It doesn't cost that much money. You know, it wasn't that big of a mistake. But here, I'll show you how to fix it. And they fixed it. And the guy goes, that's great. Would you show me again how to read that blueprint, how to do that? And he did. And he thanked him for it. Personal growth goes on day by day. And there's a lot of construction that's going on in the lives of people, too. As you walk across the campus, you'll notice that people are in conversations all the time with each other. A lot of conversations are happening around the campus, and each one of those conversations that you all are having is a tremendous opportunity to be building in the lives of others, to help them become more like Christ. But think about the conversations that we have with each other. You know, what are you going to do over the July 4th holiday? Go to class. What are you going to do? You know, where are you going to go on vacation? What are you going to see? And we have such tremendous opportunities to take time to build each other up in Christ. You know, Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. So Scripture does tell us, you know, it's a good idea to admonish each other, to talk to each other, to say things in a fit way with each other. I came across a poem, more of a statement, about how we tend to waste our time. You know, we talk about frivolous things with each other day by day. And this little piece of doggerel was put in the sense of a classified ad of something that was lost. It went something like this. Lost, one golden hour circled by 60 diamond minutes. No reward is offered for it because it is gone forever. The minutes pass and it's lost forever. We have opportunities to help build each other up. So I wanted to talk today about being the counselors that we need to be. Being the counselors that we need to be. I had a visit probably about 2 months ago from a former student years and years ago, back from the mid-80s. And I saw him on campus and said, hey, how are things going? And he said, not too good. And I pulled him aside and pretty much canceled everything that was going on and said, tell me about it. He then proceeded to tell me about how after he had graduated in the mid-80s, he had gotten married. And then she decided that she didn't want to be married anymore. She just thought the world's allure was too great, and so she left him and took their daughter with her. And he was talking about all the heartache that he's been going through and the issues that arise from having a wife who has divorced him and how he's still wanting to honor God in that relationship, trying to mend that relationship. So I said, hey, let's go out for dinner. So he and I went out to dinner. And then we talked about all of these issues through dinner. After dinner, I drove him back on campus. We sat in the car for about 2 hours as we continued talking about the issue, and as we were talking about what Scripture admonishes him to do. Now, how many of us have ever had people come up to us, and I know it's all of us, and we say, how are you doing? And they say, not too good. Or you don't even ask them. You can tell that something is going on and you say, you look troubled about something. Is there anything I can help you with? Have we ever stopped to think of ourselves as Christian counselors? All of us are Christian counselors. We think that you know, the only people who are Christian counselors are those people who are in the box. You know, I'm a professional counselor. I've taken the classes. And so when people have problems, they can come to me. And so when you run into other people that have issues going on in their lives and friends, you say, well, you know, I don't know how to deal with that. And so I'm not going to talk to them. We are all counselors. Our lives are full of times where the Lord places people in our path to minister to them. So I wanted to talk about the marks of biblical counseling for the average Joe, not the professional counselor. Of course, these apply to them, too. But all of us are counselors. Point number one in all counseling. And again, I got to keep going back to the point. But when I'm talking about counseling, I'm just talking about talking to people. When people are coming up to you and they're having issues going on in their lives, how do you deal with them? First, realize that God is the counselor, not you. God is the counselor. The Lord is the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the counselor, and He uses the Word to counsel with these people. You're not the one who's giving counsel. So therefore, whenever you do talk to somebody and they go, wow, that's great advice, I'll do that, and then they walk away and think, man, I'm pretty good. Yep, I got the answers. You know, sometimes whenever I'm talking with somebody, I'll just see somebody on the sidewalk and we'll get to talk and we'll go into the snack shop and we'll talk. And I'm listening to some of their tales of woe and I hear of some of the things that are going on in their lives. I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to talk to this person? I have no clue how to answer them. I have no clue how to deal with them on this thing. Of course I don't have any clue. It's me. I've got so many problems of my own. How am I supposed to help them get their problems fixed? Biblical counseling is not man to man. It's not you talking to him. It's not you talking to him. It's you allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to share God's word with him. God is a wonderful counselor. Christ is a wonderful counselor. In fact, Scripture even says that's his name. That's his name. Isaiah 9:6. The Christmas passage. For unto us is a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who better to go to than the Wonderful Counselor? I mean, I don't know everything about this person who I'm talking to. In fact, I may know very little. I may know nothing about this person who I'm talking to. But God knows this person. God knows this person inside and out. Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139. God knows us inside and out. And He can take His words and target them to the issues and the problems that we have going on in our lives. I love Psalm 139. Read along with me as I read this psalm. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows us better than we know us. He knows our secret motives. He knows those motives that we don't even know are going on in the background. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And then go down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What counselor is there on this earth like to our God? He knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows things that we don't even know about us. Of course, God is the wonderful counselor. He made us. But if we're going to be taking, if we're going to be giving counsel to others, remember, it is God that is the counselor. It is not us. You are not the counselor. God is the counselor. You are simply the vehicle through which God is allowing His Word to be channeled to these people. Point number two, God uses His Word to do the counseling. God uses His Word. He's elevated His Word even above His own name, God says. Now, we can learn a lot of things about how to counsel other people, counseling techniques, and I'm not minimizing that at all. These are things that we all need to know. You don't, when you're talking to people, you don't want to be stupid. You know, you don't want to say things that end up offending or make the problem worse. You do need to learn these things, sure. But it's only God's Word that affects real change in our lives. It is not the words that we speak. Psalm 119, I love Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 24, Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The testimonies of God are my counselors. The Word of God is my counselor. Psalm 33:11, The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generation. So when somebody asks us for our advice, or even doesn't ask us for our advice and we're tempted to give it to them, think of them as perhaps needing a guide. They're maybe in darkness and they need some light. It's not you that's going to lead them. It is God. It is through His Word. Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's God's Word that counsels them. Holy Spirit counsels them through using God's Word. Sometimes a person who you're talking to is experiencing some particular sin problem. Psalm 119, 9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. It's the Word that the Holy Spirit uses. That's why it's so important for each of us to study God's Word. Just open the Bible, read it, digest it, study it, think about it. And it's interesting, I don't know if you've had this happen to you before, but maybe you've had your own personal devotions, you've really gotten something out of it. The Holy Spirit really spoke to you through something, and it just sort of stuck. And then you're talking with somebody maybe a day or two later, and the thing that you had been studying, the Holy Spirit had made it stick because He wanted you to share that with somebody else. You know, I had this happen recently, and I wasn't doing a counseling session or anything like that. I was just reading in my Bible. I was reading in 1 Chronicles, and I was reading, I think it was chapters 13, 14, and 15. I was reading the section where David had gone to all of the chief people in Israel, the leaders, and said, if it seems good to you, and if God is in it, how about we go and bring the ark back? And all the people said, yeah, that's the thing to do. Well, it was good to them, but it never says in Scripture that he ever inquired of the Lord about that. So then you remember what happened, and the ark came back, and they put it on the cart. They didn't carry it according to the rules, and then Uzzah died. And David was very angry at God because of it. But then, immediately after that, I'm just sharing with you something that I got out of my devotions that day. Immediately after that, the word came to David that the Philistines were coming up against him. Instead of going to leaders and inquiring of them and saying, hey, what do you think? What should we do? First thing it says is David inquired of the Lord. And he said, yes, go up against them and you'll prevail. So he did, and he prevailed. And then immediately after that, it says the word came back to David that the Philistines were after him again. And so instead of going on what God had said before and just saying, okay, well, God told me before to go up against him, so I'll go up against him now. He inquired of the Lord. It's almost like David was going through a test. The first time he didn't inquire of the Lord and it ended up with a person being killed. Then he inquired of the Lord and he got the word of the Lord and he did it and he was successful. Then he finds out about the Philistines again and he's thinking, could I inquire of the Lord or don't I inquire? He inquired and the Lord said, don't. Not until you hear the sound of the sound up in the mulberry trees, and then you go up against them. And he did, and he was successful. But then immediately after that, he went to the Levites, and he said, "We have made a mistake in that you did not carry the ark the right way." And the Levites could have said, whoa, it was your call. You're the one who did it. You were the leader. And so I was thinking about that in relationship of people who are subordinate to other people. And so this, I was away in Florida, and I was with another administrator at the time. And so he and I were having lunch together. I said, "Let me share with you something that I got out of the Word today." And I was sharing that with him, and I said, "You know what that tells me? That tells me that even as subordinates, it is our job to make sure that we talk to our bosses about things. That if there is any kind of problem, if you detect something, don't just be a sycophant about things. Come and talk to me about it. You know, if you see that there's going to be a problem." That's interesting. I gave some counsel. I didn't have any ulterior motive. This guy wasn't having any problem. It was just that, man, this thing really stuck with me and I wanted to share it with somebody. Be in the Word. Soak it in. Study it. Point number three, what are the goals of counseling? What are you trying to accomplish, or what is trying to be accomplished? You know, most people think that counseling should occur only when there's a problem. Divorce. Man's beating his wife. Wife's beating her husband. They're both beating the kids. You know, that's when counseling needs to take place. No, counseling takes place all the time, just like when I was talking to this other guy. Counseling happens all the time, even when there isn't a problem. When we're just talking to each other. What did the Lord teach me? What are the mistakes that I've made, and what can I share with others? You know, most of us think that counseling is so that these people who have problems can become normal, like us. I don't want people to become like me. I'm not good. The goal is to become Christ-like. Normalcy is defined by Christ, not by us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's the goal of counseling. And again, counseling, I'm not talking about somebody sits on the sofa, you're sitting there in the chair, and you're giving counsel. That's certainly part of it. I'm talking about walking with the guy next to you, headed up to the snack shop, where you're actually counseling each other, sharing with them things that the Lord has taught you. So, second, when we're talking about sharing counsel with others who are suffering, it's to help them to be like Christ in four areas. I love this scripture, 1 Peter 5:10. Turn in your Bibles there, 1 Peter 5:10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory," 1 Peter 5:10, "by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while," man, we all suffer. We all have problems. Isn't that what counseling is about? Man, I'm suffering. I've got an issue that's going on. "After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle." The four things, what we're trying to help each other with when we're talking to each other throughout the day. What have we done today? What have you done today to help perfect someone, to establish them, to strengthen, and to settle them, to become more like Christ? To perfect them, to equip, make them complete, to establish, help them to stand fast, make them stable. Some of us know some folks who are not as stable as they could be. Maybe we're not as stable as we could be. But maybe there's somebody that you know who isn't quite as stable as he could be. Sidle up to him and say, "You know, let me show you with you something that I got out of God's Word today." Strengthen, helping them to be made firm, to settle them, to ground them, to have a foundation for them. Point number four, God has given us the inestimable privilege to assist in this whole process. God has given us the privilege just to talk to other people and to help them become more Christ-like, to become a channel, if you will, would, for the Holy Spirit to use God's Word to help other people. Now, I'm not, again, minimizing any kind of formal counseling. I don't want to minimize that at all. Certainly, there is a need for it when you've got some significant issues that are going on. I'm talking about daily counsel, just talking to the person who you're dealing with that day. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but look every man on the things of others." Look every man on the things of others. We're to be watching out for each other, helping each other. If we see somebody that needs strengthening, establishment, being founded, then that's when we step in and we'll help with a bit of advice. And we do it all the time. We do it with our kids. How many of you have kids? Do it all the time. Deuteronomy 6. Teach them diligently to your children. When you lay down, when you rise up, when you walk in the way. That's counseling. With our friends. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's counseling. Even when we don't know it, we're counseling. Now, Paul said to Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Sometimes you're counseling others just by them seeing your life. We need to be careful how we're living our life. What do we need to keep in mind when we're counseling? Point number 5. We have to remember, this is a repeat, know that it's the Holy Spirit that is using God's Word to deal with these people. It's not us. Take time to understand what these people are going through. One of the things that you know, I've been studying Job. I really enjoy that new book of Job that's out. If you don't have it, get it in the bookstore. Throw an ad out here for it. But I've been studying Job, and I was studying the friends of Job. And one of the things that the friends of Job got right, it says in Job 2, 11 through 13, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. They had made appointment to come together to mourn with him and to comfort him." Verse 12, "And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. They lifted up their voice and wept. They rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great." They listened. Don't automatically pop in when somebody says, "Hey, I got a problem. My problem is, you know, I got my son, he's having a problem with it." Oh, I know what the answer is. Okay, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, this, and this. Okay, and then off you go to something else. Yep, I've solved that problem. Check that thing off the list. Listen to them. Just listen to them. Now, these guys sat down and wept, and then they listened, but they didn't really hear. Pray while you're listening. While you're listening to people, if they are having particular problems, as you're listening to them, I can't tell you how much I do this. If I'm listening to someone and they're telling me of issues that are going on, the whole time I'm looking at them and I'm shaking my head, I'm nodding, I'm understanding the things that they're saying, but inside I'm saying, "Lord, help me help them. I don't know what to say. What scriptures do I need to share with this person that would help this person in the grief that they're going through right now?" Also, we need to make sure that we speak truth to them. In Ephesians chapter 4, I know my time is going. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Sometimes it's not popular. You have to make sure that you're not alienating these people, but you do need to speak the truth. If there is an issue that this person who is a friend of yours, you need to say, "Look, I don't want to alienate you, but there's something that I really need to talk to you about that I think you need to work on. Let me open the scriptures to you and show you these things." Because they're not fighting with you, then they'd be fighting with God's word. Proverbs 27:6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy is deceitful." Finally, God is pleased when we help other people. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. You know the passage. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and he'll say, you know, you've done all these wonderful things to me." And the children of God will say, "When have we done these things to you?" "Oh, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers. you did it unto me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. That's what counseling is all about. Just coming alongside, sharing God's word with people, helping them to become more conformed to God's image, and then also you're more conformed to God's image in the process as well. We're surrounded by people with needs. We're surrounded by people with needs today. We don't even know what those needs are. Let's let the Holy Spirit help us help them with their needs.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Al Carper, Executive Vice President of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.